Genesis and Revelation today. No. No. I've got a reference in Genesis and I've got a reference in Revelation. So those should be easy for you to find, the beginning and the ending. Jesus is known as the Alpha and Omega. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. And if you're familiar with your Bible, you know Genesis chapter 3 was the fall of man. But we're going to look at something just a little bit different here. I had never quite applied it this way. I was looking at a devotion, and it's one of those things that somebody come up with. You know, I said, man, that's a very interesting way to look at this. Especially in today's age. Especially in today's time. It seems like the nation goes through fads, styles, and most of them aren't good. Genesis chapter 2 and verse... Oh, that's what's wrong. That didn't look right. Wrong page here. Yeah. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Well, verse 18, actually. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the Lord out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, skip over to chapter 3, verse 9. This is after the sin. After they had disobeyed God. And they hid themselves. Look at verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And the Lord heard the voice of, and he heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then they have all the plagues and the curses and all the things that came on down to them. And over in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us, God. We just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these wonderful stories we have in the Word of God. And as we look and see what happened over 6,000 years ago, God, let us apply it and learn how it fits us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I didn't read all of this. You can read it later if you want to when you get home. But as the story goes, he made Adam. Over in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul. He made Adam out of the dirt of the ground. Made him. Now, everything else he spoke into being. He created. He said, let there be light. Let there be animals. Let there be trees. All of those things. The only thing that he actually made with his hands was Adam. Made him out of the dirt, out of the ground, out of the dust. And breathed life into him and became a living soul. None of the animals, any of those things got a soul. Only man got a soul. Well, it says it's not good for him to be alone. So he brought all these animals, everything that God had made. Adam was a very smart man. Adam began his life as an adult. Day one, he was a full-grown man. With Eve, day one, she was a full-grown woman. Well, the story goes he took a rib from Adam and he made woman from that. And they became his helpmeet. And they said, they shall be one flesh. They became one. They became together. They became a unit. Now, it says it's supposed to leave mother and father. Well, there wasn't any mothers and fathers back then. But he was setting a precedent and laying down the guidelines for in the future. When a new family starts, they become a whole separate family. And they don't completely ignore their parents, but they become a separate family. Anyway, clothes. This is where clothes came into existence. Clothing. Covering. Before, when it says in Genesis chapter 2, they were naked and they were not ashamed. There was no sin. Now, it's hard for us to think about that. But that was a time when there was no sin at all in people. No evil thoughts. No bad thoughts, no evil ideals or intentions, none of that stuff. No sin at all. Nothing to be ashamed of. They didn't look at each other with lust in their eyes or anything like that. There was no sin. They became one flesh. Her flesh, his flesh. They became one. There was everything was common between them. Everything was shared. Everything they were, there was nothing to be ashamed of. They were one. Well, she had a discussion with Satan, first part of chapter 3, and disobeyed God. They were given a commandment. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were two trees in the garden, special trees. One was a tree of life, which they ate of, that healed their body, kept it going and things. And the other tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One commandment. One commandment. Well, she starts listening to Satan and starts having a conversation with Satan. And she gets convinced, talked into disobeying God. It's a whole other lesson there. She takes of that forbidden fruit. The Bible doesn't say it was an apple. Some people just made that up. Many years ago, they thought it was a tomato. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, tomatoes were thought to be poisonous. And you wasn't supposed to eat them. And nobody would. Until somebody went out in the middle of the street and ate one and didn't die. That's a whole nother. That's, you know, there's a lot of interesting history in this, in our world. But anyway, then she gave to Adam and he ate. They got knowledge. They got wisdom. They learned about sin. Became sinners. And all of a sudden, they were embarrassed. All of a sudden, they realized they were naked. All of a sudden, they realized that there was, and they made them clothes out of fig leaves. Well, as God came all the time to talk to them, He came in the cool of the day, and they went and hid in the bushes. After they had made themselves clothes or aprons out of fig leaves, they went and hid. Because they were naked. You see, there is nothing that we can do to cover our sin. There's nothing we can do to cover it up. Then they went off and God found them. God talked to them. He gave them the curses about the plants and the thorns and the burdens in childbirth. And He's going to work from the sweat of His brow the rest of His life and all kinds of things like that. All that stuff. You can read all that. And then it says He made skins for them to cover them. Well, the only way you can get skins is to skin the animal. Kill the animal. So at least two animals, because it talks about skins, plural, at least two animals, innocent animals, gave their life so that Adam and Eve could have a covering for their sin. So they would have their nakedness covered. The origin of clothes. Now, God made those and God gave them to them. And they took them. Throughout generations of time, clothes have changed. From month to month, they change sometimes. And you have to be in fashion because that's what they're wearing over there, or that's what they're wearing over there, or whatever, you know? Ties went from wide to skinny to narrow. Skirts went up and down and up and down and down and up and down and middle and everything else. But God expects us to be covered. Otherwise, they could have been just fine the way they were. But God expects us to be covered. Now, clothes portray an attitude. The way you see someone dressed many times tells you a whole lot about that person. Clothes speak about what that person is or what that person wants to be or what that person is thinking about being. Clothes speak. When we use clothing and attire to speak for us, we are using something that God made to cover sin. Think about that. When we use clothes to draw attention to ourselves, we are using something that God used to cover sin. Public nakedness is sin. Bottom line. Otherwise, He wouldn't have tried to cover Adam and Eve. But remember, they were one flesh. It is not a sin between a husband and a wife. but it is anywhere else. The only exception is your doctor. Now think about this. When men or women show too much skin, they are rebelling against the God laid down standards. If it wasn't a problem, he wouldn't have made clothes for Adam and Eve. God expects all of us to be covered, men and women. Now, women get more of this, but men do the same thing. And I guess women watch the men. I don't know. But if you are attracted to someone by the like of clothing or the accent that the clothing brings to someone's life, I mean, you could be completely clothed and portray a message of seduction by being completely clothed, by what you wear and how it fits and how thin or thick and all those other things. If that's what attracts you to someone, then that's as deep as it's going to go. If your two hearts don't meet, then it's not going to last. It has to be deeper than what you see. Because as you know, as we mature, and as we reach the golden ages, as they call it, we don't exactly look like we used to when we was 20 or 30 years old. But that doesn't matter when two become one flesh and they're bonded at the heart and not through the flesh. The like of covering in any public place is an open rebellion to God, His way, and His ways, whether it be man or woman. Now, approximately 6,000 years ago or a little longer, that's when all this took place. All through the Bible, there's different accounts of different people's lives that were affected by nakedness. Adam, Bathsheba, David, Noah, all through the Bible. Lot, all through the Bible. There's different people. Ham with Noah, all different through the Bible. And many times, this drew them into a deeper sin, and it got involved, and many times the results of that sin affected a whole nation. As an example, today, the things that are seen on the streets and in the malls and around the town today would never have been allowed 50 years ago. The things that are on TV today would never have been allowed 20 years ago. So, if it was wrong then, what makes it right now? You know? PG-13. Why is it okay for a 14-year-old but not okay for a 13-year-old? What makes it all right for a 60-year-old? Doesn't make sense, does it? God has standards for His people. And when we get out of those, then we're opening ourselves up for problems. You look at some of the comedians like Red Skelton, some of those from years ago. Today, if they can't get vulgar, they don't think they're funny. That is the way that the world is going. You don't have to go with the styles of the world. You need to be your own person. Too much exposure is sin. You're going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Well, I think this or I think that or whatever. What does God say? What does God think? What does God want you to do? Well, it's the style. It's the fashion. Those are the old days. This is the new days. You're old fashioned. So? God? Is He old fashioned? Is God out of style? No. Now. There was another man one time. That hung naked before the whole world on Calvary, on the cross. We portray him with pictures with a little lawn cloth or whatever, which is, that's good anyway. But listen, that's not the way he hung on the cross. In Psalms 22, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare up on me. They look and stare up on me. The bones, the people, open shame. They part my garments among them and they cast lots for my vesture. The Roman executioners, the soldiers, that was some of their extra little fringe benefits. They got whatever the guy dying had on. He's dead. He don't need it. And they took it from him and they divided it up. And his one outer robe was all one piece. And they couldn't divide it up. It was all woven. So they gambled at the cross of Calvary to see who would get it. While Jesus hung completely nude before the whole world on the cross of Calvary as He paid for mine and your sins, as He paid for Adam's and Eve's sin of nakedness, He paid for that sin also on the cross of Calvary as He hung totally exposed to all of the world hanging on that cross of Calvary in open shame to pay all the way back for the sins and the shame of Adam and Eve. And of today, of all of the sin and negatives and all the stuff that He paid the debt for that sin, if they will receive the covering. Adam and Eve could have said, I don't want those animal skins. They smell like animal. They're not in style or whatever. I don't like them. I'm going to stick with my fig leaves. No. They took what God gave them and were thankful for it. Every morning when they got dressed or whatever, I bet that reminded them of that sin. That was the first time that blood had been shed to cover sin. I mean, it was a picture of Jesus. All of those animals that he named, that they were their friends, that they were their playmates, that they were their buddies, that they knew them, they were butchered, killed, hung up, and skinned. Skin was taken off of them. God made clothing for them. You ever seen an animal butchered? Sometimes it's a little shocking. That's the first time they'd ever saw it. That's the first time that ever happened to cover their sin. Well, I said it was going to be in Revelation. Chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. As John the Apostle sees Jesus, verse 13, Revelation 1, 13. Now, there's a whole lot of symbolism here. There's a whole lot of things about it. We don't have time to get into that right now. But Revelation 1, 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. When Jesus hung on Calvary, naked before the whole world, that was the last time that he did that. That is the only time he did that. And that's the only time that he paid for our sins, because he took care of everything from then on. He had a robe on from the neck or the shoulders or somewhere all the way down to his feet. He was completely covered. And girded about the paps, right up in here, with a golden belt wrapped around to hold it together. Gold is for deity, for God, what gold is. Next time you see a judge, I hope it's only on TV and not in front of one, you look at his robe. It's tight from here down to the shoulders. Right here it becomes flared out and bigger. Tight around here signifies judgment and judge. That's why Jesus is dressed like this. That's why he's covered like this. He makes a point of it. He makes sure that we know that Jesus is completely covered. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. There's a great multitude standing that John sees. And he says, who are these? Revelation 7, 14. And I say unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, what are thee? These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Talking about the saints. White robes of righteousness. We sing a song about that. Now listen. Remember, nakedness is a type of sin. They tried to make themselves fig leaves and made them aprons, and they were still naked, because your works cannot cover your sin. There's nothing you can do to cover your sin. That's why God came in and killed an animal and made them skins to cover up their nakedness, which is a type of sin. That's why Jesus hung on the cross naked, because of sin. And that's why he now has a robe covering him all the way down to his feet. And that's why the saints have white robes of righteousness, washed white in the blood of the Lamb, because our sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb that was shed on that cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And you don't get something clean by washing it in blood. You know that. It just doesn't make sense, does it? But we're not talking about literally taking these clothes, putting them in the washing machine with a quart of blood, and then coming out white. We're talking about how spiritually the blood of Jesus that is shed on that cross of Calvary washes our sins away, and we stand before God in holy robes of white righteousness, shining as a firmament, as it says in Daniel, as we stand in front of Jesus, clothed because of the blood of the Lamb. It's very likely, we don't know that, but it's very likely in Genesis chapter 3 that that was two lambs that they killed. We don't know that, but it's very likely. John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the whole world." Why? Because a lamb was used for sacrifice during the whole Old Testament. Why a lamb? Because it is innocent. Because it is docile. Because it doesn't resist. One more verse. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. The only place in the Bible you find the word Alleluia. This is the marriage feast of the Lamb. You might be familiar with that. Some of you don't. Don't worry about it. Verse 8. Well, look at verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready." That's the church. That's the believers. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Granted unto her, allowed. Why? Because there was a man one time that hung naked before the whole world and paid for our sins. And through that, we have been granted the privilege of being covered with fine linen, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Fine linen, the best that you can find. You ladies know this. I don't know if when you go buy a sheet or a pillowcase, you look at the thread count it has per inch, and you know how thick it's going to be and how long it's going to last and how soon before you can see the pillow through the pillowcase because it's been washed or whatever. Fine linen, the best, the best. Completely covered, totally, completely. Why? Because the sin was paid for on Mount Calvary. Because the sin was covered on Mount Calvary. Has your soul been covered in fine linen washed white by the blood of the Lamb? Spiritually, it is applied today. In heaven, it will actually be physically applied. In heaven, we will actually see Jesus as John did. In heaven, you will actually be clothed. Physically clothed with clothes. In heaven. Because nakedness is a type of sin. And when you're out there, you remember how you dress, how you act, how you carry yourself. Because you don't want to be portraying sin. Fashion, trends, if it's contrary to God, it's sin. Bottom line. There's nothing wrong with looking nice. That portrays something. But there is something wrong with showing too much. It's called sin. Man or woman. Little girl, little boy. It doesn't matter. My wife tries to find little dresses for our granddaughters and stuff. It's almost impossible to find something that's modest. Guys, when you're out working in the yard, you need to wear a shirt. Hey, well, it's a guy, it's not a girl. Well, hey, listen. Jesus died on Calvary to cover our sins. Don't throw it back in His face by the way you live. But this morning, how will you stand before Jesus someday? Do you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb? Has there been a time in your life that you received the gift of covering from God? It's available. It's free. It's given out. It's been prepared. It's been all taken care of. It's been completely done upon the cross. He said, "It is finished," and that's what He meant. But just as Adam and Eve had to receive those clothings, just as Adam and Eve had to receive that and put those on and cover themselves, you have to receive the salvation of God and accept it into your heart. How do you do that? By asking for it. It's not about a church. It's not about a religion. It's about Jesus. It's not about anything you can do. They couldn't cover their own selves. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the only one that died on the cross. Jesus is the only one that rose from the grave. Jesus is the only one that's alive today. Jesus is the only one that has the covering to cover your sins. There is no other way to get it. There's nothing you can do to get it. And there's nothing you can do to keep it. It's all from Jesus. Let's stand to our feet while we have a time of invitation and see what God has for us today. What does God want to do in your life today? What is God talking about to you in your life? Has there been a time in your life that you know that you asked Jesus to save you? If not, you want to know about it? You want to learn about Jesus? And you just step out of your seat and you come down here in the front. And we'll open up the Bible and we'll show you what the Bible says. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, that your Spirit will have freedom to move in and among us and touch hearts and touch lives and touch people. We ask this in the name of Jesus.